So, if you really need a friend, get a dog. In the event that you cannot afford one, you can settle for human beings, right? Today, you're going to talk on friends with benefits, and not one that you're thinking of right now, but I'm more focusing on utility friends. Friends who you make because they're able to do something for you. You're able to get something from them, as compared to genuine friendships, whereby you're just a friend because you're just being a good friend with no strings attached. Of course, utilities will come later, but it's a byproduct, but not necessarily as the main aspect of that friendship. So of late, there's been a lot of friendship drama. I think COVID-19 has also played a huge role in exposing those. And somehow, some way, if we do some introspective search, we can always establish whether we're genuine friends to the people whom we've been friends with for the longest time, or even the shortest time, it doesn't really matter. Or we've been friends with benefits. The thing is, folks, just as they say, do not put all your eggs in one basket, I would dare say, do not put all your hopes in friends, because you never know the genuine ones and those who are just friends with benefits, until when you're struck with some sort of a calamity, and that's when the chaff will be separated from the wheat. By that time, it may be a little bit late, but the whole point is, let's be careful so that we may not find ourselves in situations that are too bad, that may scar us for life. With me, I'm joined with a beautiful young lady all the way from South Sudan, who's going to share with us her experience on friendships, and friendships that we're taking for granted, and hopefully we get to take in some lessons from that.
My name is Grace John. Mm-hmm. I am from a family of 8 kids. I'm the 3rd born. Mm-hmm. I am a girl who loves God, loves music, loves good food.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's impressive. All the way from Juba.
All the way from Bentley.
Okay, I'll just stick to Juba. Juba is closer.
Okay.
So, I know you have an amazing story.
Thank you.
Now, share with the world.
So, in 2018, I had a really, it was such an interesting year. Let me say. I think I had some of my lowest lows between that year. So I was so involved with different groups, and I had so many engagements. I had so many things to do. So most of my time was spent doing something for this group and something else for another group. So I was very pressured to deliver from all ends. So
around this time you were in Nairobi.
Yeah, I was in Nairobi. So I was looking for a way out. I was looking for something that I can get a break from all this from. So my mom gave me a job offer in Juba, and I decided to apply. And I got the job. So I decided I'm gonna go to Juba, try working there for a while. Maybe it will give me some relief from this from this crazy world here. So I went in April. But by then, you know, it was so hard to leave things behind.
I know.
Yeah, so I had all these friends I had to say goodbye to. And I was in a relationship, so.
Hey, wait a moment. You're in a relationship and you never share.
But you never asked these things.
Proceed, proceed.
Alright, so it was really strenuous on that relationship. Okay. I've only tried long distance once and it didn't work, so I didn't know if this was gonna survive. So I went to Juba, and within the first week I was offline. Because one, the place I had gone to had no access to electricity, no water. So it was like very remote. So I was offline.
Wait first, Grace. I mean, this job that you've taken, what was it all about?
Okay, so I was going to be a child. It was like, how do I state it? Like a project manager.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I was overseeing these guys. They were supposed to reunify kids.
Oh.
Yeah, with their families. So okay. I was overseeing the processes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
But now you're in a remote village.
It's not even a village. Just the place I got a place to stay. I got a place to stay, but it was such a whack place, can I say? So it was a house made of mud, and then actually it was wood. The one I went into had, it was just wood and an iron sheet at the top. It was so interesting, such a change of scenery. So
I can imagine. Yeah. I can imagine coming from this life to.
Yeah.
But you had money.
No, I didn't.
As a project manager, you have a lot of money.
Remember, it's the first week. I just arrived.
Oh, you haven't gotten paid yet.
No.
Uh-huh. And your mom. See, your mom works in Sudan.
Yeah, she does, but it's like. She's working in Kisumu and you're in Nairobi.
So nujitegeme.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, it was hard, but that first week, I think it really played such a big part. Just the silence for so long. I don't think I've ever been quiet, like on social media, but when I just went mute, I think I freaked out.
I'm not the right person to... to comment about that, but since it's your story, in the layer too.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so, it was hard, even for the relationship. I think, anyway.
So before you left for Juba,
how
long have you been in this relationship?
Well, it was going to clock 11 months, so about a year.
So it was still a long one.
Okay.
It was still a young one, marinating with love, steamy love.
Wow. Did you say that?
And then you disappeared.
Yeah. Then I disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
So, after that, I tried looking for a SIM card and I tried to find a way to be able to charge my phone. So, I managed, actually, Winner's Chapel was right next to my house. It was so uncanny. Right
no, actually, there. I do remember we once chatted and you told me you're from church and blah, blah, blah. And at that time, you used to be an ardent follower of Queen's Chapel.
Yes.
Mm.
So you see, I used to go to church and I'd charge my phone. I just go, because I went in and I checked and I saw the sockets all over. And I'm like, yes. And they always use a generator. So, I had a whack charger, so it had to spend like 3 hours to get full. My gosh. So that's how I charged my phone. So which means I only had access to my phone from around 6 p.m. to 10, and then it goes off again. So now life is not looking so sweet on the other side.
And you're broke.
I'm broke. I have no communication. I don't know anybody. Oh, man, it's like so bad. And my mom just went mute. Can you believe that? So I got the hang of it. Then at work, I started working. It was fun the first month. It was still fun also. Then after I started having internet connection more occasional. So I started talking with these guys. I got a SIM card, blah blah blah. Started talking. But these guys are not responding.
So this probably this is after how long?
Like maybe
after
the
you've gotten week. Or after the second week, so no communication with your dude
for a week. Yeah.
Okay.
So after the second week, things start looking weird. Not just for him, but for all my friends as well. It's like we had nothing in common anymore, so they really didn't want to talk to me anymore.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Exactly. So I felt abandoned by many. Because it's like they moved on in a week. Yeah, so after that, I'm now focused on work because these guys are just draining me. So I joined the church, I joined the choir, it's fun. People are like, wow, you have an amazing voice, all of that. And then...
No, oh, and did you know you forgot to mention you're an amazing singer?
Am I?
I
mean, Thank you.
I'll put your credits up over here for episode notes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so by that point, I had already gotten used to not talking to people almost all day. But for the other guys on the other side, I think it was different. For them, they felt like I'm now truly abandoning or cutting off the friendship. So it got to a point I had no more friends. Because at work, the only people that work there are dudes in that office. So there was no girls to talk to. So it was kind of hard. So after that, I went to a remote village now. Because of work, I needed to go and oversee the project happening on the other side. So there is much, much harder because there's no clean water to drink. We only drank borehole water and it was just hard. No food. And then we were sleeping outside in tents on the floor. It was a hard one. So I was so drained. My grandfather had just passed on. He just passed on while I was in the remote village. Now there, we didn't have any electricity. So I was offline for 2 weeks completely. So after I came back from the remote place, I came back to Juba. That place was called Makiang. So we came to Juba and it was at that point I got a message. Someone had broken up with me.
Oh, so you were dumped by text?
Can you believe that?
Yeah, okay.
Why are you laughing?
Hi, poor Christ, poor Christ.
Wow. So... I was just upset. I didn't even think about it. And then my grandfather had left his grandson, one of his grandsons. John was taking care of him. He was now homeless. So after his death, they had to deal with the burial costs and all that. So he had nowhere to go. So I'm thinking, I need money to help this guy. So I'm stressed all over again. I thought I had escaped it in Nairobi. So I came back and I'm now under so much stress. So, now I'm thinking about like 3-4 things at the same time and I haven't even gotten to my house yet. So, I get home, have this conversation. Apparently, this guy had talked to, he had already talked to some of my closest friends about it and they already knew he was breaking up with me. So they were apparently already there waiting to receive all my emotions. I don't know, I felt cheated at that point because I didn't think it was nice that he went and talked to those guys before talking to me about it. So,
so they knew about your breakup before.
Yeah.
You got to know about it.
Yeah.
Pole sana.
Thank you.
Inauma.
Inauma.
Itabidi uzoe. Dede, it's a serious story. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at the situation.
I forgive you.
I know.
Alright, so after that, I just find some money, give to this cousin of mine so that he can deal with his homelessness and whatnot. I try calling my mom, nothing's going through. I call my family, nothing's going through. At that time, so my friends are calling me and I'm not taking the phone. And I just decide I'm gonna sleep. So by the next morning, I'm feeling a very bad feeling at the pit of my stomach. And I just don't want to exist with that feeling anymore. So it was at that point, that morning, when I started thinking about it, and I think that's when the thoughts started planting. And I was just thinking how it would be so much better for everyone if I wasn't alive anymore. So it was a scary feeling, but at the same time, it was comforting to think that I wouldn't have to go through all this.
So wait, it was comforting for you to have the suicidal thoughts. You thought dying was going to be, or was rather okay.
Yes, exactly. I just pictured death as an easy escape, or maybe it's not so easy because you choose to end it before it gets worse. Yeah, so I go to work that day and I'm just low, I'm just thinking bad thoughts. I download these songs that are talking about death being good and all those. Yeah, so I go home that night and I'm just playing those songs and thinking about the words and just internalizing them. I think that's when I started buying things.
Which thing?
I started buying equipment to start harming myself.
Equipment.
Equipment.
You give us the catalog of equipment.
Equipment. Alright. So I had gotten sick sometime when I got to the country. So when I went to hospital, they gave me syringes to go with to the field. So I didn't finish my medication. And they gave me an extra syringe. So I had like 4 of them. Just, and I didn't finish the dose, so I didn't use them, so they were still there. And then I also bought razor blades. I had a stack of them. And then I also bought pills, a lot of pills.
What sort of pills are these?
I got all kinds. I didn't really even bother. I just
just buying pills?
Yeah. Because there's so many pharmacies there, so I just go here and I'd say, give me this kind of medicine that does this and this. I asked.
And they were willing to just give it to you over the counter without any sort of prescription.
Exactly. You know, I just would convince them that I'm not feeling that well and that's how I feel and I want medication for that. And they'd give it to me. And I'd go to multiple pharmacies and get different kinds of pills. So I'd go with them to the house. So I had all these things that were just stuck there, and then after like a month of just doing that, bringing them, then I started using them. I would cut myself, I would just injure myself, like.
So Grace, chill, Kiasi. By the time you're cutting yourself, you're just taking a razor blade. With all your senses. Right senses, and you just decide to start cutting yourself. What is going through your mind at that particular time?
Alright, so there were some parts of the songs that I was playing that had these references to cutting and pain and sweet pain and things like that. So, at some point, I just would listen to that song and I'd just get a razor blade because there was some sort of numb feeling in my heart. It was just numb. And it was like a painful kind of numb. I don't know how to explain it. But I didn't know what the pain was about. I didn't know what it was for. I just knew I felt bad somewhere. And by cutting, as I would cut, I would feel my skin. And for me, that feeling felt good.
So were there particular places you're cutting? And, were you aiming at the veins? Or are you just cutting anywhere where you feel like cutting?
Yeah, so I was just cutting anywhere, but I wanted to cut somewhere that wouldn't be obvious. Yeah, so I just choose somewhere that's not too obvious that people won't see, and I just slice.
So this was like it was like your pain reliever.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
So it's like focusing on the pain I feel, other than that pain that's unknown. So that felt real, that pain, it felt kind of real. So so I did that. If it's not cutting, it's probably I just put some syringes in my leg, in my arm, wherever, and I just draw blood, and then I just, I don't know. It looked funny. It looked really bad.
Where were you getting all these ideas from? Especially the one from the one with drawing blood.
I don't know. They just came.
Okay.
I just found myself thinking about it. And then because I had it, I'd just imagine all kinds of things I would do with it. And then I'd decide on what to do with it at that point.
Okay. So all this, was it with the main goal of taking away your life, or it was just with the main goal of inflicting pain?
So at first, I had not started thinking about suicide as intense because it was just an idea that popped in my mind. But the cutting part, I had really thought about it and I started doing it. And then after cutting, no longer felt as good because it started being boring. So now I was looking for a bigger way out. And then now I got more suicidal tendencies and I started thinking about suicide even more. But that had taken some time to graduate. Because at first, the cutting part, I was just upset. I wanted to get rid of some feelings and I felt like if by creating a new pain, perhaps the old one will just go away or something. But it just kept getting more and more and just got annoying. So I stopped cutting and I was like, okay, we need to make this be permanent. How can this be permanent? And then I started thinking about dying. So it was at that point that I would start writing letters to people, like just telling them what I wanted them to know before I died. It got so bad that I wanted to plan a date to do it.
That was on your birthday.
Exactly. And the rationale I had for that was because they don't even celebrate me on my birthdays because I usually take my birthdays. It's a big deal for me for some reason. It's a big deal for me and people usually mostly forget. And in the past it used to really offend me when people forgot because I never forget anyone's birthday if they're serious about it. So, I was... Oh my gosh. No, it's not like that serious, but...
But it used to get to I know the feeling.
Yeah, it used to get to me until I just got over it. But it used to get to me really much. So I used to feel really bad when people forgot my birthdays and I would even throw parties for some on their birthdays. So.
When is your birthday?
Really?
I forgot.
You forgot. It's the 23rd
of
January.
Okay. Next year.
Next year.
Next year.
All right. So I wanted to leave an impression on my birthday. Like, if you couldn't celebrate me for the right thing, maybe now you can think about me every time for the wrong thing. So I was planning to do it in Nairobi because of that timeline. Because I was back in Nairobi in November.
Okay. So by this time you're done with Juba, you've decided to relocate back to Nairobi.
Exactly.
You're planning to take away your life.
Yeah.
That was the plan.
Yes. That was
now
the plan.
In November.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
Let's take it back to maybe October. October. I was supposed to go to Nairobi in July, but my flight kept getting postponed. So I ended up making it in October, the first week of October. So when I got to Nairobi, here I am already thinking, oh my gosh, all my friends are gonna be there waiting to just say hi to me, and we're gonna just enjoy our time. Like, 3 weeks is not even enough, but we're gonna enjoy it. And it's the exact opposite. It's like no one even reached out. I told people I'm in Nairobi. I put it on my status. I called some people. I texted some. And everyone just blew a cold shoulder. So it was around that time also that I was invited to go to a worship night at MMU.
That's
so, at Multimedia.
So
I go to the university. I go to Multimedia, my sister and I. We go for the worship night. And we find my ex, my new ex.
Your ex, the one who left you by text.
Yeah. He's also at the worship night. And most of the people there are his friends. So people start giving me some weird treatment. People who were my friends, but because we broke up, they like took his side or something. So
wait first before I continue. Were they your friends or were they his friends?
They were our friends. Like,
no, leave alone our. Who introduced the other?
No, so so I went to MMU. I've been in MMU for a long time. By then, I already had a friend who introduced me to MMU, so most people knew me already. And as I was there, one of the times, a new student comes to the school and he is the drummer. And he, because he's playing drums, most people like him and they want to know him. So after he came after me, per se, but because that's the school he goes to, now most people like him, or most people are his friends more than me.
Yeah, now that's just what I wanted to highlight.
Yeah.
They were his friends, but you got introduced to them. So their loyalty maybe may lie more towards the dude. But let's decide the point.
Yeah.
Please carry on.
Okay, so I go to the worship night. We have a good time worshipping, but after is usually the time we go take coffee and some mandazis, and then we go and anyone does what they want to do. Some go home, some stay and practice, some go to class, hostels, all those things. Everyone goes their own way.
I know that moment. It's actually, it's normally the best time of the fellowship.
The swallowship, huh?
Yeah,
so the swallowship part, and people that were my friends before, or people that I thought were my friends, start giving me the cold shoulder, and they're looking at me funny, and they're talking to me like it's so rushed, and they don't want to be there. It's like they're trying to get away from me. And I felt that was so unnecessary. So I see him. He's there too. So, one of my friends that I knew was my friend before his, I said hi to her and she refused to say hi back. That really upset me and I went back home. And I was so mad. I was so mad, like my friends have just abandoned me. And it's not like just we were just hi friends. We were talking. We had some sort of connections with these people. So I felt abandoned again. I felt betrayed. So I just actualized my plan. I'm like, you know what? It's not like they miss me anyway. So I cannot as well just die.
So this is when you became resolute about taking away your life.
Yeah. But remember at that point, I had just gone back to Nairobi. That's in October. But I had to go back to Juba in like 2 weeks. I had only 2 weeks off. So it was at that point I decided I'm gonna think about killing myself. I just thought about it even more. So at that point, I had not really gone so much into cutting myself. Because that was the first time I had started really, really feeling some sort of way, like depressed. I'd lost so much weight because I wasn't eating. I wasn't doing anything for myself. I just lay there and it was bad.
Someone has either gone through it, is just coming out of it, or is about to go into it.